You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. As of today, Pacific Gas and Electric has 5 months to get itself out of bankruptcy. The utility has to come up with a plan by June 30th if it wants to pull any money from a fund that would help it pay for future wildfire costs. KALW's Angela Johnston spoke to Steve Weissman. He teaches energy and public policy at UC Berkeley. She asked about this timeline, and Angela joins me now to share what she's learned. Hey, Angela.
Hi.
So June 30th, it's going to be a race against the clock for PG&E. Tell us all about it.
Well, PG&E has a lot of different things that it needs to do before that deadline. Getting out of bankruptcy for PG&E is going to consist of way more than just coming up with a plan and presenting it to the California Public Utilities Commission, also known as the CPUC. Mm-hmm. It has to negotiate with fire victims and groups it owes money to. It needs to make its case before the bankruptcy court. It needs to get approval from the judge and then go before the CPUC. So to me, it sounds like a lot to do.
That does sound like a lot to do in 5 months. What does Steve Weissman think?
Well, he kind of compared it to the doomsday clock.
In regulatory time, it's already 20 seconds before midnight.
Weissman teaches energy and public policy at UC Berkeley, and he used to be an administrative law judge at the CPUC. So he spent a lot of time looking at and dealing with PG&E in the past, like reviewing their requests to raise rates or deciding whether or not they should build transmission lines. He says his work is usually pretty anonymous until something big, like, say, a catastrophic wildfire happens.
It's really getting about the same amount of attention from me that it's always gotten. However, people like me are getting a whole lot more attention from the rest of the world than normally.
So when we talked, he walked me through some of the big obstacles in PG&E's way before this important June 30th deadline.
Okay, so quickly, before we talk about those, can we talk about what PG&E has already done?
Right, PG&E has negotiated deals to compensate fire victims. They've committed to spend up to $25.5 billion. Half of that will go to insurance companies to help compensate them for money they paid out to their customers. Mm-hmm. $13.5 billion of that will go to victims. $1 billion will go to local governments. The bankruptcy judge, while not approving an entire plan, has pretty much agreed to this pot of money.
Okay, uh-huh.
And PG&E and its bondholders also reached a deal on a bankruptcy proposal. For a while, they both had two competing plans. Mm. The bondholders proposed essentially a takeover of PG&E, and PG&E had been trying to persuade them to drop that proposal and strike a deal.
So what happened?
Last week, they worked it out, and the bondholders agreed to join onto PG&E's plan if PG&E would replace all their existing bonds with lower interest rates.
Basically, okay, so conditioned.
Yeah, basically giving them more money.
Mm-hmm.
PG&E says this will save ratepayers money, but that's assuming they're paying 100% of their debt going forward, which Weissman says is actually kind of tough to assume because they're in bankruptcy right now.
Right.
And the California Public Utilities Commission has the ability to reject a deal if it will hurt ratepayers like you or me. Mm-hmm. They're currently evaluating the plan now alongside the bankruptcy court.
Okay, what about the governor? What is his role in all of this?
Well, Governor Gavin Newsom said he didn't like the plan. He says it doesn't adequately address safety concerns and it isn't in the public interest.
Mm.
He says if PG&E can't get into shape, the state will do it for them. So that means he's preparing plans for a state takeover of the utility.
Okay, so what else do they have to deal with?
Weissman told me that now, in addition to the fire victims and the city governments and the insurance companies, now the federal government and the state government are coming forward and asking to be paid back by PG&E.
How?
Well, FEMA has asked for almost $4 billion, and they say they're obligated to seek reimbursement from money they spent on a non-natural disaster, mm-hmm. like power lines that caused a fire.
Right.
They say if they don't get it from PG&E, they'll have to charge the victims.
The victims?
Yeah.
Can they even do that?
Well, it's unsure yet, but they're arguing they can. So they're first going to ask PG&E for it. But Weissman says this could affect the victim settlement, that $13.5 billion, too.
So it appears that the funds, if they went to FEMA from PG&E, if they went to the state from PG&E, would have to come from that $13.5 billion. So it's certainly possible that dealing with FEMA could be a factor that makes it even more difficult to try to meet that end of June deadline.
That's a lot. It feels like more and more people are asking for money from PG&E.
Yeah, and some lawmakers have stepped in and said, this is enough. Enough is enough. Stop asking for money. Victims just need to get that pot of money and move on so PG&E can exit bankruptcy, because every hurdle slows down that race.
Right. And there's more hurdles, right?
Yeah. So this $13.5 billion number that I keep throwing out, that's a pot of money for the victims. And it could be in the form of cash and shares of stock in PG&E. Mm-hmm. So here's Weissman.
One calculation suggests that this could result in the fire victims becoming 22.2% owners of PG&E. Now, this may not be something that they necessarily want to do, but there are also concerns that this part of the deal could have negative impacts on all the company's customers.
Wow, that's quite an option.
Mm-hmm.
How will it have a negative impact on all the company's customers?
Well, the more the stock is worth, the fewer shares PG&E will have to give out. And one way to pump up the share price is to cut costs and services. So uh-huh. that could mean underspending on crucial operations and maintenance. Mm. And once victims may have the shares, there's no guarantee that the shares won't plummet in the case of another catastrophic wildfire.
Is there anything fair or equitable about having these fire victims have to take on the risk of future wildfires?
Or Weissman says, what if the entire stock market crashes?
Right. So it sounds like there are a lot of moving parts. How confident is Weissman that PG&E can actually get all this done in time?
He tells me there's just a ton of resolve from everyone, all the actors, to get this done by the 30th, June 30th. Mm. The governor wants it done. The legislators want it done. The CPUC doesn't want to be the factor that stands in the way. But Weissman is worried that in order to meet that deadline, they'll have to water it down.
Will there be trade-offs and compromises that undercut safety or undercut the protections to the wildfire victims or impose more costs on all the other ratepayers because of this effort to push for the June 30th deadline? That to me is the biggest issue of all.
So, Angela, what does that timeline look like?
Even that's complicated. So before it approves anything, the CPUC has to get public comment for 30 days. So that puts you back a month if we're back planning. And there's another 30-day process for replying to comments, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that could be put you at the end of April. So let's just say the timeline is really tight.
I'm sure you'll take us along with you as you report on all of this. Thank you, Angela.
Thanks.
Angela Johnston is KALW's energy and environment reporter. You can reach her at energy@KALW.org.